learning how to relax and have fun in the process and not be burdened by the perfectionism and like the expectations, and just keep it fun like an indie film.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off a person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello and welcome to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina.
Hello.
We want to welcome you to Shang-Chi Week. You're listening right now to the first episode in the installment, and then part two of this episode will be releasing on Wednesday with Joseph Lei and Vidan Tran. And then Friday, we'll have the Andy Cheng coming to you. I would like to start this off with introducing our guests, Joseph Lei and Vidan Tran, both known for their action design work in Shang-Chi and The Legend of Ten Rings, as well as their indie backgrounds. Joseph Lei's works include Mulan and East Side Story, which is an action musical mashup, Afro Samurai Champloo, which is a two-episode anime mashup, and many Martial Club collaborations. Vidan Tran is on the Jackie Chan stunt team, known for works like The Foreigner, Bleeding Steel. He also did action design and stunt doubling for Into the Badlands, where his team members called him Jackie Boy. His fan films include Cyberpunk 2077, Phoenix Program, and Darth Maul Apprentice. Mike, what were some big takeaways from this episode?
I mean, it was just a dope experience. It was four Asian dudes talking about nerdy action stuff. It was really awesome. It's also cool seeing them as sort of this younger generation of the up-and-coming action filmmakers coming up in the industry. And it was also awesome hearing them talk about their experience with the late, great Brad Allen, talking about how he was so strict in terms of the quality that he wanted out of everyone, but then he was also able to give everyone the creative freedom to express themselves and add their own creativity and whatever they could offer to Shang-Chi for the action.
Yeah, obviously condolences to the late, great Brad Allen. I really enjoyed hearing about their experiences like on set, especially learning from the whole entire action team in general. There was a lot there, especially like you were saying, being able to part ways with your ideas, but also there's other stuff too. Like they were talking about Dustin Daniel Cretton and his ability to say no to ideas, which is very fascinating. And obviously as a director, you have to be decisive and you have to make those decisions, and saying no in the nicest way possible is inherently a superpower. So
yeah, true. And then Joseph is saying the opposite from the other perspective, is being able to take those no's and then say, okay, that's cool. I'm not going to take it personally. We're just going to keep reiterating and keep making it better.
Yeah. Having Dustin there and being so decisive with his ideas makes the whole production so much easier. And I also think Vidan Tran also talked about this a little bit too, where he's worked with directors in the past and they haven't exactly been as decisive as Dustin has been, and kind of like all over the place, like yes, yes to every single idea. And then at the end, they have no real opinion on what's going to happen in the film. So that was really fascinating. And yeah, you'll hear more about it in the podcast. So without further ado, here is Joseph Lei and Vidan Tran. All right, so let's start it off. How are you guys doing?
Good. We have a long shoot tomorrow, but we're here.
About to
spread the wonders of Shang-Chi and our involvement with it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Nice.
So I was kind of wondering what, I guess now we're doing a podcast with both of you guys together, what your relationship is like. I've seen a couple images of you guys doing some ass grabs and stuff like that on Instagram. So was wondering a little bit about that.
Our personal private life. And we enjoy
it. Yeah, okay, of course.
And it's all of a sudden, it turns out, you know.
Actually, we first met in Shang-Chi in Sydney, Australia, when we were both hired by the late Brad Allen to work on the project. And actually, when I first met this guy, it was at a coffee shop with the other action designers of the movie, with Young Lee and Chris Cowan. And just like literally 1 minute after Vidan was like, hi, my name is Vidan, da da da, like a random random guy, like a random fan came up to Vidan and was like, hey, I'm a huge fan of you on YouTube. And can I take a picture of you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, what?
And then we were all joking like, oh, he probably like planned it just to make himself look good.
Yeah, or around the corner, like, hey, $10 a kid. No, it was really surprising. He was also like a Vietnamese guy. She just came from nowhere. I was like, really? Because the thing is like, me, especially me, I am not that present anymore. On YouTube, I don't do that much anymore, especially not in front of camera. Mm. But it was like super surprising. And then the other side from the world, like Australian, it feels also so isolated, so far away from everything. And all of a sudden, we literally, what you said, like 1 minute or 5 minutes, we just talk, hey, what's nice? And finally, we meet each other. All of a sudden, 3 seconds, are you Vidan? I was like, holy oh my God. Okay. And then straight away, I said, hey, dude, that's not stage fright. That's like, not stage fright. Okay. So,
yeah.
But it was really funny. So, like, he just recognized and, like, my old movies, like My Way or Blind Date, all like over 10 years ago. And for him,
oh, wow.
Like,
so, long time fan.
Yeah. So you mentioned about, because I think back then when I did like more YouTube, there was not really a YouTube, right? So there was no monetizing, or you cannot do like really earning money. It's just like a platform. And it was really open. You can just put something and then straight away it gets viral. That's this kind of YouTube. Mm. And for us, it was just like a page where we can like do like a portfolio or something like that. And then for him, it was like very inspiring because he's a Vietnamese background and it was like, hey, filmmaking, doing the first time some action stuff. So that was actually the thing.
Yeah. And it's crazy that all four of us met up at the cafe. Yeah. And it was kind of like a celebration. Like, hey, we were all from YouTube. You know, Chris Cowan, Young Lee, me, Vidan. And then now we're here working for Marvel. And it's kind of like, you know, before the storm, like, what should we do now? Like, how should we handle ourselves?
Yeah. Well, it was a really exciting moment. I remember very well.
Yeah.
Like, I was so nervous. Everyone was very nervous, especially because everyone has, like, own background and different strength, definitely, different experience. But first off, when we met, and even the whole time, that's amazing stuff, like, or amazing thing. We never had, like, kind of, like, a competition or rival feeling. It was straight away, hey, we are brothers, because everyone's went to the same path. Everyone has like the same struggle. Everyone knows the kind of the business and like to be underdog and trying to get up into the industry. And all of a sudden in the Marvel movie, we meet is it first time each other. But the thing is like, everyone knows about the other one. I never met. I mean, I met Young a little bit. We talk a little bit, but not really, really, really met.
Do like a something. Jackie Chan stunt team meetup. Or something.
Yeah, I met Young because they shot Kingsman. No, wait a minute. I think it was Kingsman.
Solo.
Yeah. No, Kingsman 2. Okay. It was Kingsman 2.
Oh, Kingsman 2.
Shot,
yeah.
The Foreigner. I went with Jackie.
Oh, okay. Chris was on that movie too, I believe. Right.
Not in the second. I think not. He they know.
Oh, okay.
He was in the prequel. Yes, in the quick prequel, but not in the Kingsman 1. And then in the second, I met him and Jermo. Yeah, I met them. We had like a dinner with Jackie, Brad Allen, and his team. So it was like literally a Jackie team meets Brad Allen team.
Wasn't there like a slight competitive thing?
Yes.
You guys showed each other. Oh, here's my favorite.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was a friendly competitive type thing.
Yes. Yeah. So the thing is that because Jackie is like a big brother, right?
Right.
And everyone, Brad Allen, everyone, of course, he's respecting it so much. But still, it's funny because I think Jackie, he respects Brad a lot, real lot. You can tell in his look, in his eyes, when they meet and hug each other, you can tell. Yeah, because Brad made such an improvement and also such a processing in the business. So then, of course, Jackie was aware of that, right? And Brad Allen always represented JC Stunty, Cheng Chia Ban, always. Because, you know, his logo is like Brad Allen, action design, Jack Chan Stunty. That's his part. And Jackie is aware of it because it's his background. So, but still, they want to show him the previous. I look here, there's a Foreigner, this is the Kingsman previous. Now, look, oh, interesting. So, of course, it's like kind of, okay, let's see what you have. Huh? And Guang Hua, my mentor, he's also from Jay Stunting. He's also a long time, like those kind of both grow up together. But of course, Brad Allen is an older generation. So it's always like, if you have generations, you have to look up for the other guys and then you have to listen. And it's always like, trying to impress someone, you know? It's always trying to impress, look what we can do, the next generation. So that was actually the thing. But it was funny and very interesting. And I was very terrified because I sat at a table with the biggest guy ever. Not even Jacob, but everyone just like crazy experience, yeah. Crazy stuff that they did. Like they inspired so many people and just sitting all together in one table.
It sounded really down to earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, condolences to you guys over losing Brad Allen. I'm also wondering, you know, we hear so much about the work that he does and how much he's able to bring people together in terms of choreographing. What is he like just beat for beat when you're talking to him about anything?
Very kind. He always opened up with like, how are you doing, little brother? You know, how's your body? How's everything? And always made sure that I didn't feel intimidated on my first like big movie gig, because Shang-Chi, like I just went from 0 to 100 like YouTube. Mm. He always like said like, Joseph, you need to speak up more. Like, Joseph, feel free to do that. Like, you're an intelligent filmmaker. You should know. It's crazy. He would always make sure the little guy in the room would be heard.
Yeah, true. Exactly. It's true. I mean, for me, especially when I come from the stunt background, as a stunt performer, I have to say, to be honest, it is hard. It's very tough because he's demanding a lot. Mm-hmm. Because he is a professional in everything. He's a master of wushu, master. He was a master in acrobatics and gymnastics. I don't know, like in jiu-jitsu, he was in judo, every sports, every martial arts, boxing, everything. He's like a master. Wow. And also even stunts, right? So he did a lot of hard hits, Hong Kong hits, like proper one. No mat, no pads, there's no excuse, a proper Jackie Chan style, especially in the 80s and 90s. So he's expecting from the stunt performer the same. And if you don't deliver, okay, then next. So he is strict, very strict. So I knew about that. I know the stories. And I feel like it doesn't matter what it is, you have to deliver for him. Because only the best of the best can work with him. So, you know, you're like terrified, a little bit and you're afraid, you know, to mess up or say something wrong. But exactly what he said, like for him is, you have to say something. You have to have an opinion. You have to stay for what you want to do. Otherwise, it's no meaning, right? So, and for everyone, so it doesn't help. And he wants to always, he's very open-minded and wants to hear all the stories or all the suggestions because he's always looking for perfection. He's a very perfectionist. So that means even for action design, even for stunts, he wants to see what's the best. The best for the situation. Yeah. And then he wants to make sure, is it really the best? Try again. One more time. Until you really find out, okay, that's it. And as a performer, I was, again, like for me, I stopped doing performing since 2016. Because I wanted to start more in behind the camera and feel more the creativity. And for him, for Jennifer, for everyone, you know, when you know his background or how he's demanding so much, so you feel like, okay, how will he treat us as an action designer? Is it the same? I don't know. Maybe it's very hard for as a competition. How is it actually? And all of a sudden, when we went there, from my experience, I mean, I met him, but not as a boss, right? And then when I met him, it was like what he said. He made sure that we are feeling good. He's supporting us so much, and he gave us also creativity freedom.
Yeah.
And then also opinion was open-minded speaking. And also, yeah, he was also always asking about how's your family? Mm-hmm. And I was like, crazy.
How's your spirit?
Yeah, how's your spirit? Yeah. How you feel? Always like that. Maybe because in terms of camera work, action design, editing, visual effects, of course, it's a big lack because there's a lot of stuff to learn. And then he's not, I wouldn't say dependent. But it's a big area where you need more people. And then he wants to learn too. And that makes him maybe like also pushing us and then teaching him. And he was always like, yeah, again, mm-hmm. always listening too. That yeah. was amazing.
I remember like the first day of the job in Sydney, like he was at the office but looked super busy and I didn't want to bother him. And then randomly in the hallway, I saw him and then he reached out his hand to me like slowly. I was just like a little shaking like, and then he like grabbed my hand and pulled me super fast and like gave me like what? This really big hug. I was just like, oh, like, I didn't expect that.
Wow.
Also like outside of work, like he invited the whole team to this Peking opera show. Like he paid for us and a lot of our meals.
Wow.
And he was just outside of work. He was like very joyous and like very light and happy-go-lucky.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at work, he's super tough because he has to fight for the stunt department. Mm-hmm. keep the integrity of the action, because, you know, the whole story with, you know, traditional Hollywood filmmaking, they always cut up the action or not give us enough information early in the process.
Right.
And also the freedom, you know, to take, not really take over, but support a little more. Because our service is like, okay, show what you have normally. Do choreography. Okay, fine. We take it and then we shoot it and then we see how we real filmmaker will do it. And now, of course, it's a mess.
Yeah.
But it's always like trying to protect themselves a little bit, you know, where they come from. But they're not respecting the action genre or the action area. So for him, he was always pushing and forcing to say, no, I mean, if it's about action, we will take the control. Mm-hmm. We will take over. We will make sure and deliver that was the best for the scene or for the action.
He would turn like a 2-day shoot for an action scene into and stretch it to like a 7-day shoot, because that's how much he cares, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. It amazes me that you said about him. He both is strict and, you know, tries to get everyone to know what they want and everything like that, but also gives you guys the freedom to use your skills and create something that really connects to the story, like you're saying. Are there any other, I guess, takeaways or lessons that you got from working on that project with him?
I learned how to be super flexible and garnish the creative energy to bounce back after having like 10 of my top ideas that I've been brewing the whole week, like turned away, and just not take it too personally. Because, you know, coming from an indie filmmaking background, I'm used to being in control of everything and having my own community in like a small town. Like I did all of my indie projects in Virginia. And so I didn't really have the experience of servicing to the big leagues and being told no as much. So I think that was a big takeaway. And also learning how to relax and have fun in the process and not be burdened by the perfectionism and like the expectations, and just keep it fun like an indie film. And I think I learned that the most from Young Lee and Chris, the way they blocked out time to just only relax and have fun to the fullest and then work to the fullest, and how they were really strict on blocking that stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was also for me a very special experience, because, yeah, you know, so far I worked on many shows already, a couple shows, and a bigger production as well.
Into the Badlands.
Yeah, Into the Badlands. I worked in Six Underground with Michael Bay, which is also very terrifying. Yeah. And Dune. I did Dune before, that movie, which is coming out also next week. I did some stuff. And, of course, Jackie. And I feel like Jackie was my biggest school, for sure, because it's China style, Hong Kong China style. I think that's the hardest film school that you can really learn, because it's in Chinese. I'm not Chinese, and I didn't speak that much Chinese. I had to learn, catch up, and getting the speed. And then they're demanding a lot, you know, like especially from the foreigner or when you join as a Jason team. But anyways, with Brad, it was like, or with his team, so I felt like I was prepared for sure. But, you know, like all the stories that I heard, because I survived China. It was very special experience for me, because first of all, I met all of the amazing guys, and Chris Cohn, Young, and Joseph. And this was my first time working, meeting and working with action designer, different action designer. Also with Pong, which is amazing. He's a genius. And Andy Cheng, I know him for a long time already. We worked already on many movies together. And I felt very comfortable with him anyways, because I understand and read his mind already, because we are like very close. But when I came over, normally in every production, I'm one most of the guys, this is what I learned. It's like, it's Andy Cheng, he taught me. Always try to be the hardest worker in the room. Okay, don't scream or don't shout for credits. You know, just always be the hardest worker, then you will get the recognition anyways. And it's because then you give the best for the product, and not about, you know, I'm the man, I'm the famous. Yeah. So it's more about do the job, the guys all will know, and do the best what you can, and they will find you. That's always.
Like, no excuses.
And then no excuses. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you said, I about this person, just make it happen. This is always a philosophy in Jackie's style, right? If you don't know, and you have to make sure you know. Mm-hmm. And not even though you ask around or something, or just learn. You go home and learn, and then you know.
You can't sit around and be expected to be
given
everything.
Because that's the business, you know, like filmmaking. Otherwise, everyone could be the best filmmaker. And that's what I really noticed, because Jackie learned like that. Why is Jackie? Because he did, this is his philosophy. And all his team is the best because they live like this kind of work style. So when I go to Brad, I thought, okay, I go my best. It doesn't matter what happened. And normally I'm one of the guys who's also cleaning up. It means like I work so hard. Everyone, oh, that's very good you are here. And then you, oh, amazing work. Okay, because of you, we could make better steps. And I feel very proud for myself because I know, yes, I did a good job. I was a good part. I could, my input is necessary. It was necessary. It's important.
Valuable.
Yeah. And then here in Berlin, the first time I met, boom, everyone, amazing. Everyone, even more hard work. I was like, damn. And then, of course, the first thing what I had was self-doping. What should I do here? I'm actually here. Everyone's so amazing, right? What's my part? So, okay, it doesn't matter. No excuses. Let's go push everyone, help everyone, and do everything. And what he said, all of a sudden, previous, revision, ideas, kick it out, new idea. And then after, let's say, 20 revisions of a previous, you made everything already. And the other guys made the same already. So what can you do? You know, how can you decide what is good now, right? What's the best decision for this moment, this problem? How can we solve it? But then keep it calm. And I see Chris, I see Jan. Everyone's like very calm, and then the music,
having so much fun,
and just enjoying. And then I say, okay, that's crazy, that's amazing. I was observing Chris, how he treats like creativity or this action design. It's different because when I come from more Hong Kong style means we go like kind of spontaneous. We go in the shoot, we go to meet, let's shoot straight away, beat by beat, 3, 4, 5 beats, cut, boom, we know this is name. So we go all the way because we get inspired. It's like a puzzle. And all of a sudden, everything comes together, right? Well, for them, it's different. They're not doing this. They take a time building the picture, building like a timeline, building the music, getting everything, the concept first.
Writing out all the shots first.
Yeah.
Before shooting anything.
Yeah, and that was like, wow, it was crazy. I never seen like this kind of approaching for action. That was very inspiring for me, very inspiring. And for me, I tried to analyze it, take it with me. I went home to hotel, think about a lot, writing in my diary. You know, love diary. Today I ate the ice cream. But it's like,
I saw Karen.
Yeah.
Shout out, Karen.
Karen's stunt coordinator assistant. Production.
Oh, okay.
And she was amazing. She did a really good job. Really, really good.
She really stepped it up. It was her first movie too.
Yeah. And
oh,
she
nice.
Was
wow.
always like a kind of like a bright light because she's like always like cheerful. Hey guys,
in
how
the
are
good
you
morning.
Yes.
Good energy. Yeah.
And she becomes like, oh shit, now go back and do it. Yeah. Because
like 4 hours of sleep, like, oh.
Yeah. Because sometimes we go home and still get we're super tired. And then.
And choreographing in our beds, like going to sleep.
Yeah. And the worst thing is when
that's all you can think about.
When Chris does his action design, so for the men with Pong together, the Mandarin and father versus Lee as a mother when they fight.
Mother,
they're
father
shooting
fight.
With a big
leaf blower.
Leaf blowers. What? And we're like, oh, we are dying inside. It's like a big workshop,
and
right?
Chris had like mad allergies with the leaves. Yeah. He was dying while shooting.
Really?
Yeah, like cough. So, and this,
wait, so who was doing the leaf blower?
No, some stunts to make because in the previous we had like
some stunt people.
Okay.
Stunt team.
Because our previous, it looks like almost like a shot, like a movie already.
That's what we like
special effects.
Prevising with the actual like
costumes,
almost ready costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to sell better the idea. And then also leaves, you know, to make the, you know, when you do the Tai Chi stars, we see the leaves comes up. Yeah. So we have real leaves there. We blow up. The area leaves, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Wow.
It was really fun.
But I think one big takeaway from that for me was just you can find inspiration everywhere, not just in looking up, you know, Jackie Chan choreography, but also in anime clips. But you can find inspiration when you're playing Super Smash Brothers with other action designers like having a meal with Andy Chang, of him talking about his past, or even talking to Karen in the morning, like, hey, how's it going? You know, and opening up your heart to all of that. And it'll help you creativity wise, like in a general sense. Yeah.
Has that happened? Have you guys played Smash Brothers together?
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah, some... yeah. And well, not.
No, no. He said no.
He's the hardest worker. I would demolish Chris Cowan with my Donkey Kong. And you nice. Get nice. Call too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not a gamer. I'm a really big gamer. But hey, Smash Bros. There, dude, it's so slow. If you can say, yeah. I am fast. Yes, it is fast in the motion. But if I press one, A, B, whatever,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden, then they do
yeah, the it's like a little bit delayed, right?
Yeah. I used to like Marvel vs. Capcom, for example, right? I was super fast, crazy fast. Oh, Naruto.
Oh, yeah.
Shippuden Ultimate Storm or something like that. Yeah. Super fast. Crazy, and then but you it's like instinct reaction. So for me, that's
wire connection right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it's a game because it's like a little delay. They go down.
Maybe
down,
just.
Down. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
The animations. Yeah, yeah.
It's not my game. Definitely.
Yeah. So I know we talked a bit about, I guess, your fellow stuntmen and how they inspired you. But I'm wondering from a director's point of view, since you guys both directed your own shorts and stuff like that, Dustin, like how did he inspire your sort of directing? And I know you guys both stress like leadership and communication. I'm wondering how has that evolved since, I guess, this project and what you took away from him?
Definitely for me, just having more empathy and doing a lot more character study. And for him, I mean, I was in a couple producer meetings with the director and so on. And basically they would just like review our previses. But I think he was good at saying no. I feel like the action team wanted Shang-Chi to have all these different powers from the comics, like duplication and all these stuff. But then like the producers were like, no, wait. Doctor Strange has that. We can't give it to Shang-Chi.
Oh, interesting.
So we're pitching so many cool ideas, but then Destin was really good at saying, no, I want the main character arc for Shang-Chi to be able to, spoiler alert, control the rings using his mother's, you know, style and being able to balance like his mom and dad's side and bringing the whole family and the generations together. Yeah, that's kind of what I learned.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
So saying no nicely or in a nice way, or is it kind of?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like no, like no, no, like are you stupid? No. It's more about what he wants.
Yes.
You know, he knows what he wants. And some people, some directors, so far I also work for, they are sometimes like, yeah, it's okay, maybe. And I get another opinion, another. And like, maybe this. And then all of a sudden you have no opinion anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like everything.
Yes. And Destin, he was like, of course, he wants to listen, but he can sort it out. He's like, no, that's not the way. Maybe this way. No, he makes sure it's only what his vision was. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, he followed his vision. That was in his instinct as well. That was crazy. Yeah,
and he was so chill. He made everyone like, well, encouraged everyone to wear Hawaiian shirts every Friday.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's awesome.
He's from Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
We should implement that everywhere, pretty much. I feel like only good things could come from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Chris got along really well.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot in similar, you know, personality.
And you guys were sort of talking about previs and prepping and having to pitch ideas to other people. I know one thing that Joseph, you're kind of known for are these beautiful drawn storyboards and really paneling out beat for beat what some of these scenes are going to be. I know when I do storyboarding, it does not look like your storyboards. Do you think you get a lot from making those storyboards look so visually appealing or clear?
I think just a lot of practice and being able to develop your own shorthands for certain poses, but overall it's just to clearly communicate the story or the main action. Like most of my first storyboards are always like stick figures, but people do get the point immediately. And I think for Shang-Chi, I was kind of forced to be a storyboard artist because we're working on so many scenes at the same time. Like Yudan would be like doing some intricate fight choreography stuff with Andy Chang in the bus. Chris is doing like the father and son fight, the leaf blowers. Young is on, also working on some stuff. And sometimes we run out of people, right? And so for certain big gags or big stunts or big visual effects, like giant crane move, like it was just reasonable for me to quickly storyboard that out, get that approved by Brad, and then we investigate further by applying VFX and stuff like that.
Yeah. It sounds from at least the Clubhouse talk yesterday when Young was talking, you guys were talking about like show, don't tell, like don't just pitch this idea, but actually show him and get him on board. I'm wondering how crucial that aspect of it is to actually getting your ideas seen or at least, you know, executed in that way.
You mean in general or?
Yeah. Like creating the previs beforehand before pitching or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we also before we mentioned. I mean, this can happen. You know, you do your hard work and 1 week to shooting, like, let's say 80 shots, amazing previs, and then, okay, because you don't want to show yet or present it yet. So you go sound design, you overnight, you do visual effects, some 2D composite, and then next day, okay, Brad or someone from the action team, you want to see a meeting, and then before it goes to the director at all or to the production, then we show, and then...
Never mind. We change our mind.
Yeah, it's not good. Damn, but you stand, you know? So to protect yourself, either way, you are really believing it, it will be amazing, or you really going to do a draft first, right? You do like a blocking, you do like maybe shooting just facets, no? Facets, just a little bit, and then you can show, this is my goal. This is what I'm trying to go. This is what I want to do. And then we have to say, yeah, okay, I actually like it. Well, no, maybe it's not that right thing, not right tone. Now let's try something else. Then you know, and then you work on it.
Yeah.
So that's always like a try and error. It's always. Yeah.
What I learned from Vidan and working with Andy Chang, I think just recently, is to actually shoot a lot of drafts on my phone or like kind of like master shots of like the general choreography and have my bosses be involved with the early process as soon as possible and have it be like a dynamic, like everyone working in tandem together instead of me just working on something for a whole week, not telling them anything about it and then presenting them like, look at my perfect thing. Look at has sound design, has like 3D VFX. You have to love it. But yeah, we have to work in tandem and go back and forth like every step of the way. I think that's the better process than aiming for perfection.
But it's good to say, because this is what you meant also before, from coming from YouTube. This is what I was noticing, and I observed it from many people, you know, because, for example, Andy Long, one of my brothers, also from the Sun team. But from him, observing him, or from other people who are starting from YouTube or indie films, that's what he said, because you are living in your own circle, your own community, you're creating, you have, there's no limits, there's no, you can, if you want to reshoot, you can do next day, or next weekend, or in 2 months, you can pick up with your friends, you know, like all the stuff, because it's indie, there's no money involved. And in my film school, it was exactly the same, because you're a student, you can just hang around, you can do like 5 hours overtime, or in the night, you can shoot, because there's no costs, and there's just friendships, and you just want to make it, it's patient, right? But it means also you don't have a restriction. It's also in your creativity, right? You don't have no restriction. There's no one who's telling you no. So you are the boss, and everyone else, which is good. I don't want to say it's bad. It's actually what exactly Jackie also did, and also Donnie. There's no one who's saying no. Or there was some producer, but he's like, no, I have my money, my own money. I do my way. That eventually will be also the goal. But the thing is, like, there's two ways of filmmaker. Or you're working in the industry, but then you do mostly serving. And serving means you have to listen to see politics. You have to see what's going. Don't step on the toes. And then you find your way. You be smarter. Okay, you sweet talk a little bit. And then you get that. You be a little bit smart to get what you want, you know? You say like, it's a great idea. But you know, it's my idea, actually. But hey, well, good idea. Let's do a try. But it is. And it sounds like very, like a rat, but it's not, because you want to, still trying to get the best of it. And
have atmosphere. Everyone involved.
Exactly, in harmony. But at the same time, that's what I feel, because I come from both sides, but the last 8 years now working in the industry, I felt myself, when I go back, damn, I'm a slut. You know, right? Because I cannot decide anymore, you know? Because I'm
I want that sound bite. My ringtone.
That's the part we're going to clip out for the reels right there.
Oh, please.
No, what I mean is like, I feel sometimes like, oh, damn, I'm just serving the whole time, you know? I'm pleasing here and there. I kind of lost in present my own voice and all my own decision, what I want. Because I'm trying to listening what they want, and because I was also working on music videos, big music videos in Germany for big celebrities, and then for them I was a director, but still I'm serving because I go meet the artist and ask, okay, what do you want? And they tell me a story like, I want black and white, I want emotional. What is that? Now, okay, what? And then I'm like, you want to drive?
Then you're trying to execute their vision.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I take what they have. I wrote down amazing script that based on their vision. It's like, okay, what do you think of this? Yes, exactly. That's what I meant. Exactly. It's my baby. And then for me, it's like, yeah, great. It's your baby. And I direct this thing. All of a sudden, it hits 72 million views. They get like viral. My name is there. Yes, I don't get that much attention. Why? Because it's their artist. They get the money, whatever. My service is done. When I rap, I cut, post-production, finish. Yeah. I got my paycheck done. Move on. Right, so what I'm saying is like coming from both worlds, I see it, and then when I see Andy or some other new people who is starting to come in the service process, I see them a little bit struggling.
Yeah,
right. It's just it's not like a bad way, but it's like a conflict. But then you have to learn. Okay, I know how it is. But in the same way, you have to find the balance. I feel like because now I felt also this reason I did Cyberpunk and I did my Assassin's Creed movie. Because I felt like, damn, I have to do something. Oh, my heart is still
your beating. Inner artist.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm beating. I have to go back and crafting all my stuff again. And but that means for all my credits where I have Marvel doing whatever, I have to step back and starting from the bottom again. Because when I go back to my town, I'm the overseas Hollywood guy, but I don't have the budget. I don't have the manpower. So I have to craft with all what I have again.
You have to prove yourself.
Again. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's, for me, it's the best balance to do humble, go back and crafting. Go do your homework. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you are. And then trying to build your own industry eventually. It's interesting because we have to find and understand that's two different worlds of filmmaking. And if you are willing to understand both or to adapt in both, then I think you can get very far.
And you need both as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. But it's hard work because it's really hard work.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into some of your guys' short films, stuff like that. I know that you were talking about not having the budget or also trying to stretch a budget. I'm wondering what kinds of things you do normally with a low budget on those short films to really stretch the production value as much as you guys can. I know both you guys probably have some kind of experience dealing with that.
I know for Vidan, working 48 hours straight.
Yeah. I
work okay.
48, yeah. And I'm the only one who is like really pushing.
But you know what? I can see why so many people in his hometown follow him after he returns after a big gig. Like they don't get jealous or whatever, but they more so join his sets because of the learning experience. And right, you know, right. Vidan is always like trying to push them into the next step or like give other people a chance. Like a lot of people who did like hardcore stunts in like Cyberpunk.
What was your paper again? What?
A lot of people who did like the stunts in his film are not like professional stuntman, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, like, I think thanks for your work. I pay you later. No. For example, Cyberpunk. Assassin's Creed was a little bit different, but Cyberpunk was one of the projects, proper passion projects. We did a 40-minute short film or pitch, whatever. It's actually like already like an episode or a pilot. And most of the people who work on there, they was not professional. From the stunts, sometimes also from the older filmmaker, some students. It's not like I try to like rip off them, right? Like, okay, you come work for me for free. What I do is like for this project, for example, yes, I did a shout out with my friend and then he's asking, hey, guys, we need help. So is someone interested to help? And the only what we can afford is like, of course, transportation, food, you know, and a lot of fun and experience on a like hopefully big action set. And I was really surprised. All of a sudden, now 150 people work on this movie for free.
Yeah.
And like, even post-production, wow. visual effects. And some people are just happy because they're like, yeah, hell and yeah.
So many cosplayers.
Yeah, and cosplay, right? Yes. All the cosplay, yes, just yes. for free. They came all the way from Germany, from Holland, like Netherlands. They came from Denmark, like all over Poland. They came over just to have fun. Of course, it was kind of like a convention for them. It was before COVID. Mm-hmm. When COVID happened, all the stuff. But the very what he said, like for me, is I saw on the set some people there, a set runner. I didn't know them. And all of a sudden I asked, somebody randomly asked, man, what are you actually doing? You know, you're like, it's amazing here, but okay, it's cool, but what do you want, you really want as a filmmaker? What's your goal? And then one guy said, yeah, actually, you know, I'm interested in producing. Oh, really? Can you do this? Yeah. Okay. Mm. Really? Yeah. And then he showed me some stuff. Okay. You know what? You're upgrading. You're a producer now. And another guy, all the same. He started to be all of a sudden the art director because he likes to put the set. And I asked him, can you put the props and everything, the set dressing a little bit? Yeah, okay. All of a sudden, he's so passionate. I mean, we are doing some, makes his own thoughts, right? And I said, okay, you know what? You get the credit. You're the art director. And everything started by step because for me, credits, I don't mind to give him credits. No, it's not like, I'm the only one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I saw that Google Doc. It was huge. You had for Cyberpunk. And,
And for me, it's always, this also was, I learned from Andy Chang, is you do the job, you get the credit. It's not like I book you as a stunt performer, but you do the choreography, everything. I use the utility stunts. No, you get the choreographer credit. It's easy because you did the job, right? So done. Because that helped him to grow, to be motivated, and also the next step to learn what he wants, really wants to do in the future. And that's what I want to do with Cyberpunk. And that, this is the reason a lot of people who started as set runner, all of a sudden, producer, second unit, assistant, third, whatever, no? All the stuff. And that's for me very, very important. Always support also young and newcomer because they don't have the chance, especially in Germany, we don't have the chance because we don't do action.
Yeah, for me, I use all of my Marvel money to fund my my action
that's
musical.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, Mulan and East Side Story. And so I went back home to Virginia and I made this thing with Team Red Pro, which is my film collective in the DMV area. And I actually hired a lot of like people who, I've always wanted to do producing. Oh, I always want to do this. And it was a good way for me to give back. And also after the film came out, they would use that film for their portfolio to get professional producing jobs or like composing music. And like just the same way I use like indie passion projects to get an official gig from Marvel action designing and work with Andy Chang. I want to give them that same opportunity, you know, to do what they really want. And also for me to experiment with the action genre, I think every short film for me is like a thesis or a hypothesis. Like, I've never seen action portrayed in this way, or how about I stretch it here or combine two animes into this hip hop, like martial arts spectacle. And so I think that's one of the main motivations for me for indie is because you can make up your own rules and then show
things that haven't been done before. Yeah.
Yeah. And then show that product to people in Hollywood. This is why I'm special. And I think that's kind of why Brad hired me, because he wanted, you know, fresh talent.
Yeah. You guys were talking about casting before, and I recognize that a lot of your leads are almost like perfectly casted. I mean, you got the Mulan film with Jackie, Leroy, Travis, and then, you know, Darth Maul, Johnny Silverhand with Ben. I'm wondering if you guys could talk about finding actors that fit those roles really well. I mean, you talked about cosplay a little bit as well, V.
For Cyberpunk, it was actually easy because more cosplay, right, as Ben. And he had buddies since 15 years, like know each other for a long time. Before he has like his kind of community, like way before. Yeah, like we grew up, we did like stunts before. We did many shows and we support each other many times. And all of a sudden he became a cosplayer and he gets very huge and famous and popular. So and then Cyberpunk idea originally is his idea. And then I made it to my project because I wanted to support. And then I wrote a script, I make everything happen, I produce it.
You guys are both producers,
Yeah. And for me, it was always important because I was like, when we did Star Wars shooting, it was 2014 or 15, and then released in 2016. And that was our last movie. No, that was also not my movie. It was Sean Boo's movie, right? I was action director. So, of course, both. But most of his part was Sean. And then I felt like, damn, I was always busy. I was, again, it was with Jackie. I didn't do the Badlands for almost 1.5 years, only working. And then I felt like, damn, I should do something. And then all of a sudden I said, you know what? I stay here. I refuse Chang-Chi to come back. I will finish my Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed. Because I stayed in for Joseph, we stayed 2.5 months, almost 3 months in for the prep.
And Vidan got offered to stay longer for production.
Yeah, for the shooting.
Sadly,
the
shooting. I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But it's not because of him. It's because of. maybe.
Oh,
no, the thing is. No, it was the money. It was nice because we have four actions, and actually literally 5 or 6 with Andy and Pong. It's too many people. We cannot hire and hold them, right? Normally, as action designer, you deliver the previous, actually done, okay, go home. But now it was okay because of Brad. He will push us to shoot it and also edit it in the end. But it was still enough. He was always fighting for us. He's always able to fight. But of course, budget is tight. And like this kind of movie is still, we have, there's a lot of probation, you know, the days go longer, right? No 2-day shooting, 7 days. So the budget goes shorter. And then for me, it was a problem. I got called first. I should come back in the beginning of February. And then start of February. And then all of a sudden, I had this little complication.
Dilemma.
Yeah, like delay a little bit because Chris has to finish also the other stuff. Everyone goes a little bit delay, pushback. And I said, maybe from the production office side, was like, okay, Vidan, we cancel you. And I was like, damn. Okay, it is what it is. But I was already planning on working and prepping for Cyberpunk. And then the time between, I thought I can finish the movie in 3 days or 4 days. I couldn't. I couldn't, right? Because I was not originally planning to do a 40-minute show. So it was like a 10-minute whatever action. Yeah. But I wanted to do
all now it's like 40 minutes.
I told Ben, what I want is just have fun. And I don't want to give a restriction. It doesn't matter how long it goes. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, of course, we hit like 3-4 days. Boom, we cannot anymore. And then I got canceled. And then that's crazy. Brad called me 2 weeks later. You have to come back. Next week you drive, you fly. I was like, shit. And then I was in my dilemma because I was committed and I was really convinced it is the best time. It is what it is. I go with the flow. I do my Cyberpunk now. And then I told Brad, I'm really sorry, but I think I want to finish my project and I can only come in April. So next year, oh, damn, it's late. Because you have to shoot the bus. And I said, I committed and I want to be like consistent. I want to finish this. And I said, okay, I respect it. Not your decision. Okay, let's talk later. And of course, COVID happened. Everything broke. And that was for me, like, I had the privilege to have the time to finish my Cyberpunk without feeling guilty to refuse or to say no. But yeah, and then it's I came
blessing
back.
Blessing disguised a little bit.
Yeah. So, but for me, it was... only for myself, as it was very important in this project because I met so many people. I could express my filmmaking, my art again, and just have fun and creating eventually for a new step in my life or something. But he said exactly
great right. With your homies back at home.
Yeah. I think that's what he said is exactly true because when you go home and again to the question about low budget. We had budget in the end because at the time with COVID, we managed to get product placement, right? Rockstar, BMW, Vodafone, big companies, they gave us a little bit amount of money. Yeah, it's not like, okay, here, you have 200,000 or something. It was just a little bit enough so we can, because that's what we wanted only.
Yeah.
We didn't want to earn money. It's a non-profit project. We literally said, no, we don't need that much. We're only covering for hotel costs, more for the food, transportation, because we went to other cities, like a big area for some props, you know, and we needed more support. That's it. Or the car. Can you give us a car? We get like Rockstar, like 210 Rockstars, huh? So we can survive 48 hours shooting, you know, like on the night. And I drank like 8 of them. I was like shaking. But I've always.
Johnny had a couple of those in that film.
Yes. And then, you know, like one can for me, because I don't like that energy drinks that much. Yeah. It held me, gave me a 10-minute boost. So I drank like the actor. 10 minutes. Okay, I have 10 minutes. I have only 10 minutes. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, boom. Oh, I can't dance. So I was like, okay, 10 minutes. It was literally, it was like that.
It gets less and less and less.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think what you said also not only express your idea or just making the motivation about your vision, but it's also I think it makes you also stronger because you hold the vision and you hold the core. If you are getting lazy or loose, everyone else will get loose too, mm-hmm. because you are the leader, right? So you have to lead. And if you stay strong and motivated, and everyone else will be like, yeah, I will follow you, you know? And that's yeah. also a very nice experience and motivation for me.
Awesome. Yeah, and I do want to, I mean, we've been kind of talking about your own personal projects for a little bit now. I kind of want to formally dive in and really break some of these guys down.
So are you trying to see if they're man enough?
I'm trying to see if they're thug enough!
This is kind of a joke question, but for Joseph, how much cocaine did you go through normally for a fight scene in this? And how, given the amount of cocaine kicks that you guys did in this this short?
Oh, baby powder. I think I kind of got obsessed with that after working yeah. with Marshall Club and Andy Chang in Shang-Chi Previz. We need pow powder quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it gets everyone a fun laugh on set and keeps the fun
vibe
going.
Up. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, we used a lot of baby powder. It got slippery, but.
Nice. It looked good, though. It looked good. It's the important part.
Yeah. And every time I felt like a shot was like 95% there or 99%, I was like, oh, we're just missing powder. Baby powder. And then yeah. it just all.
The exclamation point at the end of those action bits. And so where did the concept for that mashup come from? I know you guys are pretty experienced with different fan film mashups. Where did this one start?
I have to be honest, I was a little bit salty for not being invited back to Shang-Chi. And I was like, man, Hollywood doesn't want me. It's okay. I go back home, indie route, and channel my roots. But also, I think I love the Mulan, I'll Make a Man Out of You. You know, Jackie Chan sings it in both Cantonese and Mandarin. And that's like my theme song when I'm like showering and stuff. And same with like the other co-stars too. And so when I found out that Disney was doing their version without a musical, I was heartbroken. Also in the past with my film group, we did like gangster-esque films, like in parking garages and stuff with Leroy Nguyen and Rising Tiger Films. And so we kind of like, I was aware of the situation happening and what I've done in the past with these guys. And I wanted to kind of like collect that creative energy and create something that I've always wanted to see. You know, I love musicals. I love action. And to me, action beats, like sometimes when I'm commuting after work, I listen to like Police Story, just the audio. And kind of like just imagine in my head what those beats would be. And same thing with music. I would like, you know, train with music. So I'm just combining all of my passions together. I think that's how the project happened. And I kind of wanted to show to Disney, like, look how much we can do with $8,000 compared to, and, you know, still channel the essence yeah. of Mulan more than something where you can throw like $300 million at, you know. But I still love Disney. Please hire me again. You know? But I just wanted to give something back to the indie filmmaking community and show like you can do a lot with little and you can be creative with not a lot of resources. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when Darren first sent it my way and watching and being amazed by the concept and the execution of it. And that was way before the sort of Shang-Chi publicity wave and before that was a big thing. So it's also interesting that it hits us in the reverse order that you guys sort of experienced it.
Beforehand, I made Afro Samurai Champloo. And I remember in Sydney, Australia, I went to Vidan's hotel room and he was literally playing Afro Samurai Champloo on his iPad. And shot by shot, he was critiquing it. He's like, color temperature off. What'd you do that? So that kind of like haunted me for a while. And then I try to use Mulan to upgrade my cinematography skills and kind of my trust level with my other cast and crew. And I collaborate with my good old friend, Vin Lay, and actually was more open to his ideas and let go of kind of like my grasp, you know, give him more creative freedom. And in that way, I was able to concentrate on the action and directing more and the music. I used a lot of what I learned from Vidan cinematography wise and just work ethic on set into that project. Mm.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. And nice. I saw, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can pay for it. Man, you are so expensive.
And of course, there's a lot of dance going on, that kind of, not fight choreo, but also choreo for that. I saw you also have a freestyle dance video on your channel. Is dance sort of another passion in your life or something that you're interested in?
Yeah, I used to b-boy or break dance in the cafeteria in high school.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Yeah, because I don't know, it's just kind of like, I love the whole battle culture of b-boying and just like every crew representing their style. It's kind of like an old school kung fu movie. And I think dance has always been with me. And I know like for every action short I put out, I'm not a great choreographer. I'm not like wushu champion or whatnot. So I kind of have to make up for the action by blending it with something different and just giving it like a creative twist. Kind of like an analogy would be like, you know, Tupac and Biggie would be really great lyricists and rappers. And I'm kind of like the Kanye West combining two different things that shouldn't match up and somehow making it work. I think that's kind of my lane in action. Hopefully it's not an excuse
really
to not buckle down on choreography or training, but yeah.
Nice. I like the hip hop analogies. That's right up my alley.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I guess with that, one more sort of music question about that project. I feel like it might have been a challenge mixing the audio because you want the music, you want the lyrics to really take center stage in your ears, but also for the action, you want to sell the sound effects, the impacts, all the motions that's happening. Was mixing the audio a unique challenge there?
Yeah, it was a unique challenge. I think beforehand, before that film, I would always do the sound design myself. But this time I trusted more into my music composer, Alex Kane, who kind of like also mastered everything together. And that was also my learning step as a director into letting go that side of the process. Sound mixing and all of that, we did that 24 hours before the deadline, so it was just all a blur for me. Yeah,
I feel you. I feel you. Same. Yeah. Cyberpunk
music though was slamming,
like, crazy.
Like rush in the end, like before that, like sound design that just throw all the punches, everything. Okay, just
I had to up. Yeah,
mix like 8 minutes. You had to do 40 minutes.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy to me just watching, of course, the production value for that and the style and creating a whole world for Cyberpunk was amazing. And then seeing that it was a 40-minute runtime and that you were able to stretch
like
that out.
It's like a full-on movie.
Whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, that was my goal, like, you know, like to do just longer. Because the short is nice, but it's like not much screen time, you know. You just want to tell a story. Of course, we have only action, right? But in between the action, we have like subtext a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So we try to like a homage to gaming. So it's like each level you go, there's always a level boss, right? So stage boss.
Mm.
But yeah, for me, it was always when I do a movie and like a short film, I always try to, even my others, I have non-action movies too. And I'm always trying to shoot many locations, even just for 20 seconds a scene. But it feels just more, you know, because it's keep you driven. It's like, because if you go always one room, okay, you go the hallway, and that's it, then it's stretching too long. But if you go like the hallway, only for 10 seconds, one moment, then you go off, and you're on a supermarket, you're off, you're on a street, you're off, you're in a substation, or you go wherever. It's getting so fast. All of a sudden, 10 minutes of the movie is gone already. Like, wow. Yeah. And it's almost, this is what I learned.
Through 10 different sets.
Yeah. But then also it's the mentality of Hollywood movie making is the same, right? The filmmaking is the same because you have to keep the audience always feeding with information or feeding some the speed, the pacing has to be fast, right? You have to go through, or otherwise you cannot survive two hours, right? So that was also one of the goals on Cyberpunk. But yes, the world was very important. Mm-hmm. And most of the thing that now, after 9 months releasing, some people that they don't know, we shot and produced it way before the game came out. and we didn't know about anything about the game. We saw only a trailer. We were in production, in a conversation with CD Projekt, but they kept it so top secret. They gave us only Johnny Silverhand's print, like the 3D print for him, because he's a testimonial, right? But we didn't know about anything. So I have to research everything about Cyberpunk.
It was pretty spot on.
I forget all the names. Alteria, that's the girlfriend. All the backstory. Mm-hmm. I have to try, because there's a lot of fandoms. And pieces, and then we have to try to find also, is it true or not? You know, it's like some specs only. So I have to really research, a big research, to make a Cyberpunk / Matrix / Neo Tokyo / you know, like all those sci-fi movies, Blade Runner, a world who hopefully eventually work. Yeah. And that was the biggest step as a director, or you know, like to do the homework first. That was my biggest work, I would say. Yeah.
Nice. That's next level.
What is your business?
So now that we're talking about Cyberpunk, I mean, we could just break it down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was kind of wondering, what was the process of designing Johnny's fighting style, especially knowing now that you didn't have a lot of the information at the time going into it? Yeah.
So the first, okay, how can we start? So I was in Shang-Chi. Then my friend told me, when are you coming back? And I told him, yeah, I will come back around December, mid of December. Okay, so what is your time scale between Christmas and New Year? And it's like, Ben, right, Ben? I was like, what do you want to do? And you know, there's a game that's coming out in March. Oh, nice. In March, right? It's Cyberpunk. Okay, I heard about it. Yeah, you know, and I have an idea. He wanted to do like a gag, like a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you know, like those influencers. I said, okay, well, okay, I'm listening. And then he told me about the story with John Wick, John's event, and then doing reference about Matrix and a little bit John Wick. No, a little bit. Like maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I told him, hey, yes, I'm interested. It sounds amazing, but I don't want to do like a fan clip. I want to do a movie. Mm. Okay, that's my goal. And I said, okay, we can try. Let's try and plan. Okay, come back and then we talk. And we talk, and I literally wrote the script in 2 weeks or 1 week, just a draft. And then we start planning all the time. In January, we wanted to shoot in 3 days, right? So but my head was, no, I won't make it in 3 days, right? Well, I didn't say anything. And then, of course, we did, because we had a little budget to put the money in it, for 5,000 euro. And all of a sudden, boom, gone. That was the club scene. A shout out, everyone came.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That was the first shot.
5,000 gone right there.
Yeah, 5,000 in 2 days. Boom, gone. And everyone like, dude, what the fuck? Like, how can we finish? Don't worry. If it's messy, I will pay for it. I don't mind. Don't worry. All the stuff happening. So in the end of the day, his idea came up with, he wants to take do a mashup, right? And for me, I have always, when I do a project, like what he said, like a motivation or goals, what I want to achieve. My achievement was, I wanted to do action, like in the highest, because I came back from Shang-Chi, right? I was like, dude, I want to do like crazy things. I want to do John Wick. I want to do what I missed the whole time. Shooting, fighting, crazy camera work, big action, visual effects. I want to do everything in one movie, okay? Everything. So, and that was a perfect time. And then for me, the style for Johnny Silverhand, I want to do also kind of Hong Kong, but still brutal, like hard hits, you know, because it doesn't fit for him and he does like all the shapes, you know? So it's more like a hammer fist, harder, grabbing, shooting, a little trapping is okay, you know, like, but all more aggressive, pushing forward rather than to step back and doing some Donnie Yen style or Wing Chun. So that was my goal, less kung fu for sure. And then I keep going and developing. But the whole process, I kept it like a TV show, which I learned also in Marvel, kind of, because they had also the mentality, like try error, trying, experience, experiment, to experiment some other stuff. And then, oh, that's good. Maybe, okay, give some offers. And Interventors was exactly the same. We had like, for example, for the script, we have always like log lines and little drafts, but we didn't have for the second or third block a script. So every time we finish a block, second block, okay, episode 3 and 4 is on. then again, because the riders in the rider rooms, they get inspired by shooting. Because then we see how the energy and then the relationship with the characters, how they develop.
It is very Hong Kong, yeah.
It's very fluid.
Yeah, definitely. I was damn, because it feels like you get spontaneous idea. You're not like too fixed on one story, or because then sometimes writing down, yeah, it works perfect. Then you go shooting and like, damn, it doesn't work. It looks shit. Yeah. Why? but you are so focused and you're like, you want to hold it so, because you spent like 2 years for that, right?
Yeah.
And you're not flexible anymore. You're not adapting. You don't go with the flow with the people, the characters, the actors. Sometimes actors give you some other information. And I took this kind of experience for myself for a Cyberpunk. So you know what? I don't stress. I go with the flow. And some people that came to me like, said, no, don't stress. Everything will be good. Now I will take the responsibility, but I will make sure we bring it home. That's my goal. That's my, I feel confident for that. And also experience. Yeah. And then again, we had like in total 70 days of shooting, like from January until August, like everywhere, like spread. Now, to have the stamina, yes, it cost a lot of energy, but I was keep holding. Doesn't matter, I believe it. Holding. Same happened in Star Wars. Just keep pushing. A lot of people are always helping, and I'm very grateful for my team, what I found there, because everyone gave 120%. It's not their project, right? Actually, only Ben and mine, but they made them as their project. And then everyone's keep working. Yeah, again, like we mixed, we tried, and it's also a trial and error. We didn't know if it works or not, you know? If some gag's working or not, we don't know. Ben came up with a pencil, the idea with a spoon, you know, he had some rough idea. I created the En Long character, he's funny, and then Miyamoto Asaka. But the funny thing is, when we play the game, of course, I played the game afterwards, and I saw so many similar
coincidences.
Yeah, like details. We didn't know, but same, like they speak English and Japanese. He did it too. His character looks almost the same like the bad guys from the game. And I was like, damn, he's just literally guessing, and we were spot on.
Just somehow all worked out.
Yeah. And the funny thing for me is also, when you see the art direction, for example, you have always two boxes, like literally a box. In every shot, you see the box, because that was our cyberpunk box. That makes everything more cyberpunk. Lighting boxes.
Just in different places.
Good luck charm.
Yeah. So go there. And it makes a little more like an industrial cyberpunk look, you know, like a cypher look.
The set design,
I don't know. How can I say? Yeah, the jacket, you know, normally he doesn't have it, right? The trench coat. But it's, of course, a reference to Matrix. That was Ben's idea. And also to hide his arm, because his arm wasn't finished yet.
The whole time.
And then only for the final. And also, that's the whole. They cannot fight the whole time with the arm. So then just we really make a showdown just for the arm, like a show off. See his arm in proper.
That rear naked choke was pretty brutal. Especially with that robotic arm,
And of course, choreography wise, inspired by Matrix a little bit, for sure, you know, all the references. And then also the cheesy one, just block, and then this. You know, like this kind of old school. Of course, John Wick, definitely, because of Gun Fu, and BJJ, Grab and Rolling. This is funny enough because I work here before I came to this project on Halo, TV show Halo. And in between, when I did Cyberpunk and Shang-Chi after Shang-Chi, I did a previous work for Halo TV show. And it's similar. So, and then director Jonathan Liebsmann, he wants to have kind of John Wick / Wing Chun Ip Man style / some faster speed. Boom, boom. I was like, hell yeah. I love this. That's I will do it.
Crazy Frankenstein.
Yeah, the Frankenstein. Yeah. So I made a previous for Halo in 3 days. And
Three days seems to be the thing.
I literally pushed it so hard because he has a presentation the next day.
Andy Long was in it, right?
Yeah, Andy Long was in it. Some people in Germany.
He was the last guy who died in the
I mean, later I can show you, but when the show is on air, it was always the same, same style. So I was already familiar with the style and then the speed. Like your gun for like one flow, you're flowing much faster. I tried much faster than in John Wick. Yeah. So sometimes it was staged, right, in John Wick, but I want to faster combo style.
So
you know the Resident Evil animation, you know, when he goes and then shoots John Wick. yeah, that was my hey, this is what I want to do.
Oh, really?
Then the floor is effortless.
I'm glad we have you on the wide angle lens. Now we can see all the hand movements.
Yeah, all the. Nice, awesome project. If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram at Action Filmmaking Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.